So that's how the eclipse works. I come to church and I learn all kinds of things. Wow. They don't teach us that in Alabama. So yeah. Thank you, Pastor Scott. Thank you. And it's an honor to be here today. It always is an honor. That 1.5 mile trek down the hill from Emmanuel to be with you and to thank you continuously for the ways in which you change people's lives. And you may not even know how you're doing that, but thank you. We see that and witness that at Emmanuel, at all the different neighborhoods that we have at Emmanuel. So I bring greetings from Emmanuel and a huge thank you and appreciation for all that Bethlehem has done. This is our 65th anniversary. We don't have as many anniversaries as Bethlehem. We will never catch you with that. But due to Bethlehem, we have 65 years. Thank you. Thank you. I wanted to preach today about determination because I believe that we're all determined to do something. We all have passions and gifts in life, and as we do, we want to do it the best we can. And sometimes we're asked to do something, and it just may not fit within our gifts. And if it doesn't fit within our gifts, then we ask somebody else to do it because we can't do it in the best way. My wife and I are going to Italy in about a month. I've never been to Italy. I've been there on the internet, and that's about it. I'm reading up on Italy and maybe all the different cities that we might visit. I keep hearing you don't want to try to do too much in a given period of time because you'll just be run ragged, and you get back home and you say, where were we? You know, what did we experience? But one town of Pisa is one which we might visit. I'm not sure. We're going to be more Rome and south, so I don't know if we're going that far north. But as we're doing the research, if you're going to go to Pisa, you know what you're going to see. A tower, right? Yeah. And perhaps some of you, many of you have seen that tower. I've only, again, seen it in pictures, and I'd sort of like to experience it. The Leaning Tower of Pisa. And when it comes to determination over the years, what it's come down to is we've tried to straighten this tower, right? And we've done quite a great, I say we, like, you know, Americans are over there doing it, but the Italians have done a great job in trying to straighten out the tower. 200 years it took to build this tower, so I guess they would put a lot of energy into trying to make it right. And you and I in life, we put a lot of energy into things to make things right. Again, sometimes we succeed, sometimes we don't. The Leaning Tower of Pisa, as I read about it and read about it, it was completed in the year 1372, and there's 32 million pounds of marble. Try to straighten that out, huh? 32 million pounds of marble. And in the 16th century, it moved 2 inches, okay? So, you know, I guess what's the big deal? 2 inches. But when we're talking about this kind of weight, maybe it is a big deal. A couple hundred years after that, get down to the 1800s, another 8 inches. Here we go. So now we're up to 10 inches. At one point, 30 feet off center, and I don't think people at that point were climbing up in it, but 30 feet off center was, I don't know which way it goes, a Leaning Tower of Pisa. And now today it's only 13 feet off. You know, what's a few extra feet? It's not that bad. So 13 from 30. Determination. So I was reading about it. This is one reason I want to see it. It's all the counterweights that they've used over time in order to try to bring it back, and the ropes over time, and taking out tons of soil on the one side, which is causing for it to go down and collapse in some ways as well. It's just amazing the time that's been put into this 183-foot structure that is 32 million pounds of marble. Boy, the energy we put into some things in life, the determination that we have. I'm glad they done it. I hope I might see it. I'll let you know. As I was reading the gospel today, I could only hear about determination as well. And you and I, for the last couple years, we've been determined to live a life that is perhaps different than others. We've been conscientious about what it means to take care, not just of self, but we as Christians, to love one another, to take care of others, and the precautions that we've had and might continue to have, not knowing what the future is going to hold. In the gospel today, there is determination all over the place by the people who are surrounding that table. This is the Last Supper. In the Gospel of John, this is how the Last Supper is shown. And did you note the first five words? If we read those first five words of verse 31, it says, when he had gone out. And whenever we begin with a pronoun without the actual noun, the person, who is it that's gone out, we need to back up a hair. And when we back up a hair, the he who has gone out is Judas Iscariot. We sometimes lose track of that when we just jump into the Bible. Determination. Judas was determined for Jesus to act in a certain way. As many of Judas's companions were, that when the Messiah comes, and if he is truly the Messiah, this is what we expect of you, God. Rather than to turn that around and to see that instead of us telling God, this is what we expect of you, we are called to listen as to what God expects of us. But determination was there. And do note that before this part of John 13 was read this morning, that earlier Jesus looks at Judas as he gets up to go out of the room, and he says, what you're about to do, go do it quickly. And I cannot imagine the face of Judas after hearing that. As he walks out determined to betray Jesus. Judas isn't the only one sitting around the table this morning who's determined. You know, the reading from Acts today, as we move forward in history, how St. Peter is determined, along with everyone else, to hold on to the past. That yes, Jesus is the Lord, but we want to hold on to where we've been. And if we can hold on to that, we feel more comfortable. Times haven't changed for people. To hold on to the past, we feel more comfortable about what might come in the future. And as St. Peter is holding on to the past, he's determined that we will stay with certain rituals and rites and rules. God gives him a vision to say, Peter, Peter, I've got a new thing in mind. Everybody's welcome in the kingdom. Even you Gentiles, everybody is welcome. He was determined, though. And then he became determined to go out and to tell others about the new love that we discover that's always been the love of God, but that you and I as people have gotten in the way of that. And I think of the others around the table. We don't know what they're thinking here in John 13, but we know that people like James and John, how they so much wanted to sit at the right and the left hand of Jesus when he entered the kingdom. They had their own determination as well. And as they're determined, even their mom spoke up at one point in the gospel saying, I've got a great idea for you, Jesus, about my sons. You know, if you don't speak up, you may not get what you want. Well, she spoke up, and Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking. So determination, first of all, it's a great thing. We're all called to be determined to do what is right But oftentimes what we see is that Jesus is undoing those things that you and I have determined must happen in a certain way and opens up the possibilities so that you and I can truly, truly live. When we commune today, when we commune, Jesus is determined for you to know that your sins are forgiven. In this Easter season, our living Lord is determined for us to declare that indeed Christ is alive and living through you. And as Christ is living through you, the Spirit is working in wonderful ways, determined to reach out to the poor, determined to reach out to those who seemingly have no voice. I don't know who told them that. Whoever told them that is wrong. We all have a voice, for we are determined to speak of God's love. Last week it was Good Shepherd Sunday, wasn't it? Jesus was so determined to say, I don't know what you've thought about when the Messiah comes, but the Good Shepherd, I am the Good Shepherd, and I will lay down my life for you. I'm determined. That makes everything different. But then we hear, but I'm not worthy, Lord. I'm not worthy to know this. I'm not worthy to be accepted. Lord, don't you remember all the things that I've done? And we hear the reply, I know you yourself, you aren't worthy, but you're made worthy by the blood of Christ. You're made worthy. But we're so determined to try to earn it, earn it, earn it. My father-in-law, I love my father-in-law before I tell this story. My father-in-law, his name is Charlie. He lives in the Seattle area. And I just have to say, there's no one in the world like Charlie. He's an 87-year-old with a 13-year-old mind, okay? And so things come pretty simply in his mind at times, but he will do anything for you. So I love Charlie. I got to preface it all with that before I tell the story. His wife, Arlene, my mother-in-law, my wife's mom, was out of town visiting us down in Portland when we lived in Portland, Oregon. And so he thought, I'm going to do something special for my wife. He was determined to do something special. Well, the carpeting, it needed cleaning. It's been a while in their condo since it was cleaned. But he thought, you know, there's only so many spots that need to be cleaned. And here's what Charlie did. As only Charlie could do it. He went to those certain spots, and he thought, well, if I dilute some bleach. I don't have to say anything more. If I dilute some bleach and I just pour it on those spots and rub it in a little bit too, it'll bring that brown carpeting back from those dark brown areas. Well, it didn't take long. It became yellow and white and all these strange colors. Well, Charlie, he panicked. He didn't know what the heck to do now. So Charlie, being Charlie, went outside, saw some potted plants. And he dug in the dirt, brought the dirt in, and thought, well, you were once darker than the color of the carpeting. You're lighter. If I add something dark, but not quite as dark as what you were, you'll come back to life. This is a true story, folks. He rubbed it in those spots. There were probably 15 spots, okay? Rubbed it in those spots. And it was chunky. So he got the vacuum cleaner out. And that didn't do the trick. So Charlie being Charlie, he said, I'll move the furniture over the spots. True story. Ask my wife. Next time we're together, yes, sir, about this one. She tells the story better than me. And when his wife got back home from out of town, she couldn't get in the front door because the couch was there. Well, needless to say, they got new carpeting the following week. He was so determined to love her. He was so determined to do something right. I don't think you'll ever try that again, but he was so determined. And I was thinking about in our lives, sometimes we feel if we can just fix it or fix someone else when it just can't be done. We can love them. And as Christ says, that's how they'll know our true love for them is when we're willing to give of our total selves to them. And so oftentimes, though, when we need that love, we cover up. Oh, I'm fine. Everything's just fine. How many times this morning have we heard it? Huh? How you doing? I'm fine. And we might be. But we put a little bleach in our lives. Maybe that'll just clean it up. I just think I can do this myself. What it comes down to is to what Jesus has said to us and what Jesus has done for us. It's an insult to God when we feel like our determination can save ourselves. That's not biblical. When we feel as if by our ways, and this is why in the Lutheran Church, we share the confession and forgiveness at the beginning of the service. Let's get this right. I've got an Episcopal friend, and she said, we always do that right before communion. And I said, we Lutherans need it earlier. We need to hear that we are forgiven. And God is determined to show us we are forgiven. Jesus says, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. And we say, is this really a new commandment? And do we need to be commanded to love? And God says, yes. That word new is only used twice in the Gospel of John. And I think John knew what he was doing. I give you a new commandment. And the only other time it's used is when Jesus was laid in a new tomb. Now, there's lots of other words for new in Greek, but this particular word. And what that means to me is this is an aha moment. The new commandment can only be lived out fully by God, but it's been poured upon you through forgiveness. And where we find the newness is where we find the love of God in that tomb that could not hold him. As God is determined to open our eyes to a new and perfect love. And as Bethlehem meets for an annual meeting today, to look how you're determined to reach out beyond the walls more and more. I don't even have to know what your agenda is. I know that's what you do. Remember, I'm up on the hill. And without you, I wouldn't be up on the hill. Reach out in new ways. Reach out and take the chance. Because really, ultimately, we're not taking a chance. We're only sharing the abundance of love that is given to us through Christ, who gave himself for us so that we might have new life as well. God is determined to love you forever. And when God is determined, that's lasting. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, your determination is the greatest. It's the best. It's what we need when we depend only upon ourselves and are determined to cover up our own mistakes and to cover up what we have done. Lord, teach us that your love for us is patient and kind and understanding. Thank you for receiving us, giving us the new commandment, and for us to now ask the question, who is it, Lord, who is new in my life that I'm called upon to love as you have loved us? holy name we pray. Amen.